Y'all can be seated. When I was singing that song along with everybody, we were singing a song, it was a couple songs back, about it's all about you. I was reminded how our life really is to be all about the Lord. But that's our perspective. From His perspective, it's all about us. Isn't that a great union, a great marriage? I'll let the marriage part sink in. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you guys up here. Today we are going to celebrate. Amen. Tuesday, I'm not sure if we've really ever done this. Maybe the second year that we were a congregation. But this Tuesday, August 1st, will be our 18-year anniversary as New Covenant. Amen. And that's not the whole reason we're going to celebrate today. And we kind of put this together real quick because of something that happened less than 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to share that here in just a minute. That's exciting. At least it's exciting to me. And exciting to a few of us that already know. So I'm going to share a few things. This is just going to be a little bit different of a time. We do have lunch for everybody. My hope is we will be heading down there at about 11:30. If you did not know that we have lunch, I hope you can stay. How many of you are going to stay for lunch together and fellowship? Good. Good, good, good. I also wanted to remind you, too, of Sunday, September 24th. We're going to have our whole Sunday morning service out at Blue Springs Lake. Shelter B, 10 o'clock. We used to do that on a regular basis, a couple times a summer, and we haven't for the last few years. So I gave in to some complaining. No, I'm just kidding. Just to be fun to get together again and out in a different place than a building. But I'm going to talk a little bit. I got a word, too. I'm not sure how this is going to fit in, but we'll just see. And then I've got a couple people this morning are going to come up and share a little bit with you. As I am speaking, I want this to do two things. As always, I want it to stir in all of us faith. To stir faith up on the inside of us, to hear God's voice and to encounter God. I'm going to talk a little bit about New Covenant from our beginnings and how we started. But again, it's not just about New Covenant. It's about us. It's about the Lord. It's about what He's saying and stirring faith that we can trust Him no matter what. And I'm going to talk a bit about this particular building and how we were able to get this building. My first hope is that it stirs faith in us. And my second hope is, because you are a prophetic people, that you will hear something fresh and anew this morning. And that from the Spirit, not just from me talking, but from the Spirit of God. And then I'm going to give some opportunity later for you to share what you're hearing from the Lord. Okay? Is that good? So if you're hearing something, I just want to, at whatever time, I just want to encourage you, if you have something, to write it down or make notes in your phone or something like that, so you won't forget it and be able to share it. We're in an interesting time right now, not just New Covenant, but in the world, as you know. But we're also an interesting time on the calendar, because we entered the month of Av, and Tuesday, actually tomorrow night at sundown, begins the 9th of Av. Does anybody know what the significance is about the 9th of Av? How much significance do I want? Just nothing, just a couple?
Both temples destroyed. World War, Germany just declared war on Russia.
Yep. Yeah, The ninth of Av is the most destructive day in Israel's history. Happens to be our 18-year anniversary on that day. I'm not saying that that means anything, because I don't know that if it means anything at all for us. But as Crystal had mentioned several of the things, the ninth of Av was the day the spies returned from spying out the promised land. That's how it actually all began. And the 10 spies with the negative report. And God said, that's it. This generation's not entering the promised land. Going to have to wait till the next generation. That began a destructive pattern on that particular day. And it's fascinating. If you're not aware of that, I'm not going to go into it any more than what I just did. But to look that up, it's a fascinating time. And how many things happened on the 9th of Av, which again starts at sundown tomorrow and ends sundown on Tuesday. So we're in that time. I don't know if you've been paying much attention to Israel right now, but there's all kinds of chaos going on the Temple Mount right now. Some people have been killed, police, been riots, been all kinds of things happening there, which is very, very interesting, especially being right here around the 9th of Av. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm just talking, okay? I'm just making us aware. So I'm not prophesying doom and gloom. Because I believe that one of the purposes of ecclesia is to reverse the curse. Because we don't have to submit to the curse any longer. We just sang a song about the blood of Christ, and it was because of Christ He released us and freed us from any curse. Any curse of a cycle that keeps repeating in our lives as well, we can be free from that. However, we can also obey that and slide right into it if we want to. I hope nobody really wants to, but we can be free from that. Okay, back to this building, and please be listening to the Spirit of God. When I was a youth pastor, and after a year and a half, almost 2 years of God just really messing with me and messing up my head and mind, and told us that it was time for us to leave and start one of my most unfavorite words, church. And I complained a lot to the Lord. I was like, you know what? There's so many churches around. Why another one? Why are you wanting me to do this? You know, all of these excuses. And so I gave, when I talked to the pastor, I said, I will gladly stay for another 6 months until you find a replacement. And so I'm not going to go into all of that, but right, this was in July. And so the week between July and August 1st, we were done, and it was like, well, what are we going to do now? Because we hadn't planned. All I knew is we were going to leave and start, but I didn't even know what that meant. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do. Never done it before. Didn't know anybody that really has done it before except my pastor. So we were like, well, what are we going to do? And well, I guess we'll just meet in my living room. And so that's what we did. The very first Sunday, August 1st, 1999, there were four other couples, and Renee and I, and we just met in our living room. And then that following week, Wyatt and Crystal, we had already known them and been in relationship with them. And Wyatt said, hey, I have a house that's on 8th and Sterling, and I just use it for an office. He said, feel free to use it. So we moved in the second Sunday. We moved right in to his house there. And Wyatt and Crystal have been with us ever since. So 18 years. How many of you, what's that? Yeah. And we were in that house for 4 months when we were kind of growing out of the house. And we wanted to find a place and to move to. How many of you have been here? Anybody else been here 15 years or longer? Wow. You have, Mark? Wow. I remember Pam. Yeah, Pam's been here a long time. Janice. How about 10 years or longer? Oh, Sarah's right under 15, 14 years. Right under the wire. So who's been here 14 years or longer? Yeah, Sarah. Yeah, 10 years or longer, anybody? 5. 5 years? You've been here 5 years or longer? Lee, Matt. Time goes by so fast. I was like 18 years. We've been here 18 years. It's crazy. Well, I'm just going to say a couple things about that. If you've been here more than 10 years, you need to leave. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. When we started, my concept of church and pastoring was molded and shaped by the church, and so I had what I talk about a lot is a church mentality run by pastors with pastoral DNA, and I had no idea that I don't even remember exactly what year it was that God gave me some revelation on ecclesia, and all of that has radically changed of purpose. And so we are at the house for 4 months, and it was time to find a building. And so we looked everywhere. I did not have, because I had such a church mentality, I did not have an understanding at that time of the purpose and the importance of being located where God says to go. I didn't have that understanding of location. One of the things that's so important is within church world, we think that, okay, God's given us authority, so therefore we have authority wherever we go, and that's not true. We only have authority in the realms God places us in. When I travel, when I go to India or go to Honduras, wherever it is, I don't have authority there unless it's given to me by others that have authority there. Once that's passed, then I can function in the authority God has given me. And so I didn't have that. Does that make sense? I want to go in, take a long time of going into different rabbit trails. But so I did not have at that time an understanding of the importance of location. We just wanted a building, and we wanted a cheap one. And I see a lot of times this is very common. We just want to find something that will fit our needs and just something we can afford and something that we can get, we can maintain, whatever it might be. God is not restrained, as you know, by our money, our resources, or our numbers. So we looked everywhere. Renee and I at the time lived in Blue Springs. And Wyatt and Crystal live at Lake Tapawingo, which is Blue Springs area. And so we looked in places in Blue Springs. We looked in Lee Summit. We looked in Raytown. We had a friend, close friend of us, says, you need to go to Lee Summit. You need to go to Lee Summit. That's where the money is. You can say, oh my. You can respond any way you want to. And we looked in Independence, of course. We looked all around, and nothing was working out. This building was owned by the Salvation Army at the time, but they had already bought the land and already built their brand new building that's out there off of Truman Road, not too far from here. So this building was vacant, and it was for sale. And the real estate agent that had this listed was actually Christine Jones's father. Now, we did not know Scott and Christine at the time. And so the Salvation Army owned it, and we saw it for sale, but me being, you know, a powerfully man of faith and power for this very hour, said there's no way a four-month-old congregation's going to buy anything. Let's just see if they'll rent it to us. And we tried to rent it from the Salvation Army, and we had to deal with the Salvation Army headquarters in Chicago, so we went back and forth and back and forth. And they were not interested in renting. Every time we would have communication, it would take a while to get back. So basically, I was, you know, just because I'm a man of faith, was ready to move on. But some of the female gender of our team, thank God for females, because they are males, what? Helper, and a representation of the Holy Spirit in our life, and they were like, well, how about we buy it? How about we just give an offer? And I'm like, we're not going to be able to buy this building. They wanted 200, well, I don't even remember what it was listed for, but we you know, I was like, there's no way. So we got together and we came up, okay, we'll make an offer on it. And we didn't know at the time, until a little later, that Messiah Lutheran across the street wanted it too. So we got in a denominational boxing match. No, I'm just kind of kidding on that. Well, sort of. They wanted it for their school, and we had some people here at the church that actually had kids in their school, and they had heard that, and so we just happened to make a little bit larger offer, and Salvation Army took it. They took our offer, but we didn't have any money yet. We just made an offer. Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. That's a good point. Renee just said that the Salvation Army agreed. Did you guys hear what she said so I don't have to repeat it? They agreed to take Messiah Lutheran's offer, and we just decided to offer him more. But it was not in writing, so they didn't have a contract. So we offered more. We offered $265,000 for this building. It was pretty much in disrepair. I mean, we had to tear the carpet up. What you see now is nothing like it was. We ripped the ceiling out here. I mean, we spent like 3 weeks rehabbing this building. Those of you that have been here know we did all of our services in the gym downstairs. Wyatt brought his crew. We had another guy on our team that was had a construction company, and they just came in here and just demolished the place. Right about where Mark and Bruce are sitting, right there was a glass wall that went all the way across. You can kind of see the seams where it was still. And there was two offices right there. They ripped all that out, built all of this, and ripped the carpet out. And so we offered $265,000, and the Salvation Army decides to take our offer over Messiah Lutheran. So we have a building if we want it for $265,000, but we have a dilemma because we don't have any money. And when you buy something commercial, you have to give a pretty sizable down deposit and down payment. You just don't get into it for zero money. And I don't remember the exact figures, but when we told our team that, and we don't typically take special offerings here. Every once in a while we will, if the Lord so moves. As a matter of fact, I don't remember what year. I lose track of the times and days because we don't write a lot of this stuff down, at least I don't. But it was when we first started, we took offerings, you know, like normal churches do, pass the bucket or the plate. And the Lord spoke to me one time and said, stop doing that. And I just want you to put a couple buckets in the front, a couple in the back, let people in baskets, let people know that we're not going to receive, take up an offering, but it's there if you want to give, and it's an act of worship. And so sometimes even today, you'll see people that during worship, as we're worshiping, they'll come up and place their offering there. And so $265,000, we don't have any money. Renee's been in real estate for a while, and so she had dealt with different banks and stuff, and she goes, you know, I'm just hearing from the Lord that we need to go see this bank. And my first question was, you know them? Have you had any relationship with them? She said, no. Never dealt with them at all. And you want to go to a bank, you don't know anybody? And you have relationships with other people that we might have just a little, you know, favor in that. And she said, no, I really think we should go. And so Renee and I go over there, and we're talking to the guy, and we tell him about it, and we have the contract and things, and he goes, okay, do you have a deposit or a down payment? I don't remember exactly how much it was, but it was probably upwards of the 20% range. So you're talking, what's that, 52, somewhere that, $1,000. And I said, no, we don't. No, we don't. And he said, well, do you have any collateral? Do you have anything? Now, when I had my motorcycle shop was on Truman and Spruce. How many of you know where that's at? Some of you do. Most of you probably don't. That's in the northeast area of Kansas City. Well, I had purchased that building way back when. Had two apartments above it. And when I closed my motorcycle shop, I tried to sell that building. I darn near tried to give that thing away. Because I don't know if you've ever had rental property before, but rental property in the inner city, I was down there constantly, all of the time. I was repairing things. I was taking people to court. That thing was a thorn in my side. That's a whole other story. I can go into a long time on that because there were some interesting things that happened. And I could not sell that building for nothing. So we're, fast forward again, we're sitting here at the bank, and I said, well, I happen to own a building downtown. And he goes, well, where's it at? And how much you think it's worth? So I tell him, I give him the address. He goes, well, I'll go by and see if we want to take it. So that's what he did. He drove by, he looked at it, probably took a few pictures, said, we'll take it. We'll take it as collateral. Some people just decided to give, and I don't remember exactly how much that was, but it was nowhere near $50-some thousand for the deposit. And we had a little bit of cash to be able to give the bank, and he took my building as collateral. About a year to a year and a half after that, I sold the building. That thing was a thorn in my side for nearly 10 years. And the Lord kept me from selling that thing so we could end up using that. And then we sold it. I sold it, thank God. That was a glorious day in my life when that building was gone. So here we are. We have this building. It's in disrepair. We just paid $265,000, actually got a loan for $265,000 for this, and it needs a lot of work. Our congregation's nowhere near the size to fill it. Matter of fact, I remember one guy said, what are we going to do with this huge building? And everything that we looked, because our payment was a little over $1,700, so it was on a 20-year mortgage, a little over $1,700 a month, and everything that we found to rent was at least that much or more for a lot smaller. I don't know if maybe some of you have never been downstairs, but there's a full kitchen down there. There's a small, like a 3-on-3 gym down there. It's a great facility. It's in very good shape. It's built solid. And so we moved in. It was like, okay, now what are we going to do? Because we don't have any money to fix it. And then, like I already mentioned, Wyatt brings his crew, and another guy that had a construction company brought his crew and a bunch of volunteers and did a lot of work in here. Now, I want to say this about a building. A building is not the house of God. This is not the house of God. This is brick and mortar. The temple of God's are sitting in the seats right now. So this is just a building. I don't believe that as a church or a congregation you need a building. There's nothing in Scripture that says you should have a building. You should go get it. But that's kind of a typical mindset kind of a thing for the most. And so the building is, you know when you need a building? When God says so. That's when you need it. Amen. And God led us here, and he, you know, in just 4 months, I remember telling a pastor friend of mine, because he wanted to come over and see it, and he said, you've only been 4 months as a congregation, and you were able to buy, yeah, I don't know how that happened, except for the Lord. I mean, how do you explain that? And few years pass, and we get a new loan officer, and I can't remember at this time when we got this new loan officer, because our bank changed hands. It used to be BC National Bank, and it changed hands to Community First Bank is who has the mortgage on it. And I can't remember now if it was at the time, but I remember getting a phone call from that loan officer. Because for Renee, for what we needed to do to be able to buy the building, since we were only 4 months old, is Renee and I, not only did I have to give my building as collateral, but Renee and I had to sign for it personally. So if anything were to happen, Renee and I would be personally liable to for the payment and the final balance. And so when we got this new loan officer, he called me. I remember I was in my truck in a parking lot, and he calls me. And he said, Mr. Nicola, you know, oh, by the way, what we had to do is we had to refinance every 3 years. It was basically a formality up to this point. But we always had to give personal financial statements. We had to give financial statements from the church. And every year we had to do that. But every 3 years, it would either just roll over or they would adjust because our interest rate was on, adjusted to prime. And basically it was a formality. I could talk to them on the phone, send them paperwork, and they would just, because they don't want to hold the building either. So anyway, we have this new loan officer, and he calls me, and he said, I don't remember exactly the word, so I will paraphrase on this, but he said, Mr. Nicola, you know, we are re-looking at your loan here, and quite honestly, we are really considering calling the note. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, churches are very risky, and we really don't like to loan to churches. And I said, well, you can see our record. We've never missed a payment, and we've always been on time. We've kind of had to be like past the, but within the buffer zone there. And he said, that's true. And so we just were chit-chatting back and forth. He was asking me questions. I was asking him questions. And I can tell that he wasn't like dead set, we're going to do this. That he wanted some information. Then he said this. He said, Mr. Nicole, I just got a question for you because I've never seen anybody, any other church or anybody do this. He said, why did you personally sign on the building so if something were to happen, you are personally liable? I said, because the Lord spoke to us to do it. That's what he said. He said to do that. And I wanted to make a statement, too, that I am invested. I'm here 100%. Longevity. Longevity means a lot, not just to the banking world, but to the Lord. I believe too many pastors, too many people in ministry miss out because they get frustrated and they quit and they stop because they haven't gone through to the very end. I didn't say that to him. And I said, because we're 100% invested, I want our, not that we talk about it. Matter of fact, this might even be the only time I ever have talked about it in public, that we're invested in that. And he said, I think we're going to go ahead and continue with the loan. And you won't have to refinance anymore. So we went, we still have to give, and he didn't even want my personal financials anymore. He just wanted to find, every year we would just email them or mail them by, you know, snail mail, financials from our church, from the congregation here. And I think that really made an impression on his heart as well, that somebody would do that, and it went a long way. And I'm not, please don't take it wrong, I'm not trying to puff us up in any kind of way. Like most of the time I say, it's just important that we do what God says to do, regardless. He's not limited by money or lack of. He's not limited by any type of human resources. He's only really limited by our lack of trusting him, our lack of faith, limits him moving. And I wanted to be honest too, because I didn't have that much faith about getting into this building. I was like, let's rent it. We can't rent it. It's impossible. And it wasn't impossible. So too often we determine what God has said by those kinds of things. From day one that we started, and I believe this, and I've told some of my pastor friends this too, and I don't know if they do it or not. But I believe as an organization, as New Covenant, that we ought to give too. And we started from day one, every little bit of finances that come in here, 10% is going to missions, local and foreign. Yeah, I'm getting there. So, and we started at 10%, and we've been very faithful at doing that, and then we've upped it, and it's been at 13% of every dollar that comes in goes towards missions, both local and foreign. We have tried to be as very open and honest about finances, payroll, salaries, utilities. We post it every month. We put out there on the bulletin board all of the ministries we give to, how much we give to them. A lot of things have been accomplished in through the finances. It's just been an amazing thing to see what a very large congregation, but very few in number, can accomplish. And, I mean, we've bought a couple cars over the years and given them away. We bought a house and gave that house away. We bought a second house and we kept it for a number of years. It was called our ministry house on Cottage, just a mile behind us. We sold that 2 years ago. We were able to help a lot of people in transition with that house at that time. Last year, as those of you, most of you remember, we did a $35,000 language project that was paid off in much shorter time than the ministry, Faith Comes by Hearing, even thought was possible. We have jumped into Kansas City, India project, where we're part of the India project now. We made a 5-year commitment. We give $250 a month on a regular basis to that. We just had a little extra money, so we gave another $1,000 to that. And that's been a long-term commitment. And for me, Victoria actually is going on a women's trip to India next month. She was going to pray for some people that are going to Bulgaria this morning, so she's not here. But she's leaving on a women's trip to teach in a women's conference there, and then I'll probably go back in February as well. So we've been able, that's just a few little things that we've been able to do. Why? Because people here have been giving. And there's people that are not in this room that were here for a short amount of time or a longer amount of time that are not doing other things that have also been part of this giving. And I want to announce, this is my fun announcement. Yeah, drum roll, please. Oh, I love how it faded. That's awesome. It faded down. Yo! This building is paid off. We paid the building off 2.5 years early. We saved almost $6,000 in interest. Crystal came to me a few weeks ago, was in the parking lot, and she goes, because Crystal, she's our treasurer. She does all the finances. She writes all the checks or instructs the bank to send the check. She does all that. We do have a financial council, and Sarah is part of it, Renee, myself, Crystal. That make the decisions. I don't make decisions for every dollar, a lot of them, but I don't. They oversee all of those financial, and Crystal volunteers all of her time, like many of you do in other departments and the worship team, to do all of that. But she came to me a few weeks ago, and she goes, because I don't pay attention to it that close. I don't. She sends records once a month, and quite honestly, I go through it like this, like I do Facebook. Okay, and let the other ladies kind of take care of it. And a few weeks ago in the parking lot, she comes to me and she says, hey, I just want to let you know that finances have been so good. If we want to pay the building off, like, soon, we probably can. I was like, what? And so we called the bank to find out how much we still owed on it. And it was $46,000 some odd dollars. And she sent a check over to him. Yep.
This is not money that has been designated for missions or anything else. This is general fund money that had just built and built and built and built, and we were able to take it out and pay off the building. So it's not money that we borrowed from someplace else where we're not trying to give to maybe a project or trying to do this. No, we'll just take that money and go ahead and pay off the building. This was money that we had saved and acquired over.
I was going to mention that, but thank you for going ahead.
That was really important to me.
Yeah, well, and it could seem obvious, like, oh, hey, we made almost $16,000 in fireworks. We probably used that, and we didn't use a dime of it. We didn't touch that, so which is very important. So, New Covenant Ministries is completely debt-free. That's the only debt we've ever had is that. But we are completely debt-free. Sheree, could you share your word? Could you come? Sheree, I let Sheree, because she's our administrator, she knew that the building was paid off before I made this announcement. And she sent me by email a word that she got. I think it was the next day.
And I was hoping I'd get to it because our internet was down and it just now came up.
Oh, praise God. We got our internet back, too. There you go, Lee. Internet's gone. Yeah, let's do it, just because you are recording, right? And I just, the people that aren't here, I want them to be able to.
So I still got a little vertigo going on, so just bear with me here. When he told me, I think it was before our Wednesday service, and then Wednesday, the last Wednesday that we had, I felt it was really strategic.
And it felt different. And then when I went home, the Lord said, this is a pivotal point. And Renee had been prophesying about the river, the gush. She called it a gusher. And let me tell you, it was. But when I looked at my calendar, I thought today was going to be the 9th of Av this evening, but it's not. It's the 7th, which is actually going to be better because now we can speak into Tuesday. So on the 9th of Av, that's when the spies went into the land and they came back with a bad report in Israel when Israel was out wandering around. The Lord says, there's the promised land, go take it. And, you know, the spies came back and said, oh, there's giants in the land, we can't do that, you know. And so just Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, wait, you know, we have God on our side. Well, those people didn't make, Moses didn't even get to go into the promised land. He could see it from afar, but he never got to go in. So, and then Anne had reminded me, too, that, you know, the 9th of Av's coming up. And the Jewish people still to this day, well, if you look in history, there's bad things that happen every year on the 9th of Av. And now we have the Temple Mount thing going on right now. And what the Lord told me was, and this is the day, sorry. I want to make sure that I get it like he gave it to me. This is the day when the spies came back with a bad report and they did not take the promised land that day. Instead, they wandered around 40 more years. Bad things kept happening on the 9th of Av for the Jews. God intended it to be a celebration entering to the promised land, but instead it turned out to be bad for them. Many of the Jews still believe today that bad things happened to them on the 9th of Av. I heard the Lord say, this is an act, the celebration this Sunday on the 30th is a prophetic act, and it represents two things. This is to be a celebration because God has given us the land earlier, this land. He got the debt paid off earlier. Earlier than what we expected. It is a reward for being good and faithful stewards. It is a sign of better things to come. And secondly, I believe it represents major breakthrough in the area of finances for the people in our body. Amen. Especially those who were there that Wednesday night. I don't know why he said that, but it was like I felt it was really strategic. And it says, I feel that it was a very strategic time. It is just the beginning. It's going to rain in that river that Renee prophesied about last night. That means Wednesday. I believe it's all a part of this and that river, and it's going to gush, and it's going to be time for abundant life. And so that's the word that he gave me. And I've been seeing rain, river, sea, ocean, anything that has to do. I mean, 2 weeks before that, I was seeing, and I'm still seeing, rain songs. Everywhere I go, I hear rain songs, rain things, rivers, deep, going deeper with the Lord. So when we're celebrating downstairs eating all that yummy food, just remember how awesome the Lord has been to us.
Yes, amen. We also had a little bit of rain just a few days ago in the natural. So just a little. Yeah, Crystal.
And it'll be short.
Look at the size of that.
I know. I have to be able to see it. Okay. Joe had asked us to share just anything about New Covenant, and we've been with them. We missed the first week, but because we went to church and we didn't see Joe and Renee there at church that Sunday, we were like, okay, where'd you go? And they at that point told us what the Lord was leading them to do, and I said, we're in, and Renee said, oh, no, you need to go pray about it, and I said, no, I really don't. Renee was instrumental. Well, she was. The Lord used her to lead me back to the Lord, or lead me to him the first time, depending on which way you want to look at my background. But anyway, my relationship was with her, not the church that we were attending, and Wyatt and I had just got married, and there was no question that we were supposed to be with them wherever they were, we're going. So that has been a really cool journey. I really can't imagine my life anywhere else but with New Covenant. And fortunately, the Lord's never told me to go anywhere else. So being with that, I have been kind of on a journey. You all know a health journey, and I do some studying occasionally. And this week, I had really been studying just that one small verse, "Be still and know that I am God." And I found out that I had a kind of a misunderstanding of what that means. I'd never really looked up the Hebrew words of what "still" means within that verse. And I had always thought it meant, and it does kind of mean this, to stop struggling. And to me, that meant stop doing everything. You know, just stop. Spend more time with Him, spend more time resting, spend more time, you know, being still. That's really not what that means. And actually, very interestingly, the word "still," when it's pronounced, is Rapha. Now, there are two different meanings: Jehovah Rapha, my healer, okay? And Rapha does mean healing. Rapha also means, in this case, still, be still and know that I am God. And it means to acknowledge who He is and quit struggling outside of Him. Hear His voice and do what He tells you to do, which is not necessarily what I defined as still. And I don't think the majority of the Christian world out there sees it as that. I think they see it as just stop. And I think you can be still, and yet if you're hearing what the Lord's telling you to do, be still fighting a battle. If He tells you to do that, if He tells you not to do it, the whole idea is God's got it under control. And then you kind of loop that into the Rapha with healing. And when you are still and you are hearing the voice and you are giving up your flesh, dying to yourself, which is also what that word means, then your healing, the healing that He has for you, can come. And the reason I kind of wrap all of this into New Covenant is because we have been here through the beginning. I have seen from the financial side and from the spiritual side, and they're actually all looped together. The Lord uses all of it. But I have seen many times where we have looked at brick walls and gone, there's no way. Where are we going to get that from? How are we going to make this happen? I have seen the black and white numbers to tell you that I have sometimes wondered where the money was going to come to pay for this building, or where the money was going to come from to pay for the new air conditioner we need, or to pay for the new electrical that we have to have updated in order to get our insurance renewed. And I can tell you that as a body, we have ceased to struggle, listened for the Lord, honored Him, in many ways not tried to figure it out, and every single time He has been faithful to provide. We need new electrical. Oh, we have somebody who's been coming to church who's new, who's 2 months, who's a master electrician, who says, oh yeah, I'll take care of that for you. You know, we need a new air conditioner, and lo and behold, we turn it into insurance, and oh yeah, we'll cover that for you. You know, our needs have consistently, physical needs have consistently been met, and the physical needs of many in our body have been met because this body knows how to be still and hear His voice, and not trust in the natural, but trust in the Lord God Almighty, who called us to be here. And we have had lots of people come and go, and that's okay, because there are times for everyone. I know we've had lots of people leave. I will just say this. We've had lots of people leave because this body stands for truth, and they did not want to stand in truth. We have had lots of people go because the Lord has just called them someplace else. And that's okay. I have never seen a fence taken because someone has left. I don't even know what that looks like. I have never, fortunately, the Lord has protected our hearts, why it's in my heart, or at least my heart, and probably why it's heart too. We have never been injured, quote unquote, by a church or by people in a body. Because forgiveness and understanding and an unoffendable heart have been something that we have learned here, and to trust in the Lord and just love and walk that out. And that is why I believe this, one of the reasons why this body is so amazing, because the Lord called us to be here. We were called to be in Independence. We were called to be a light in Independence. One of the things Joe didn't say was that, and I didn't know this until several years ago, but there were no non-denominational churches that were prospering in Independence at the time we established the church here, not in the city limits. Right, within the square area. There was such a spiritual stronghold here that we battled and still battle, that we were going to bless this area and be a light in this place for many different reasons. And I am just very thankful, number one, that I had this revelation on this word, and how awesome that is for us, and that we have had the leadership that we have had that wants to hear from the Lord and wants to do what he says, no matter what. No matter what it looks like, no matter what other people will say, no matter how impossible it looks, that we are going to stand in faith for what the Lord says, and we are going to walk in that. And that has been why we have been here for 18 years.
Thank you, Crystal. That's awesome. You also gave me a challenge. You said you've never been hurt by church, and I'm going to take that as a challenge and do my very best. Dale, could you come up? We're going to pray, and then Dale, feel free to share anything you want. Pray however you like, and then we're going to go downstairs and put some food in our mouth. As we do that, I just want to ask you, we have pizza. How many of you like pizza? That's a healthy thing. But then we have more healthy things. There's some salad and some fruit, and I'm not sure what all else is down there. So if you could just at least start with just a couple pieces, not load your plate down to where you need help to carry it kind of thing.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your word has been so rich, so full in the testimony, standing in the middle of a field of harvest. Thank you that this is a new day, a new era. There is a new realm of effectiveness that's birthed now for us. Thank you that we are still. That Philemon verse 6 takes hold. We're amazed because we begin to see and say and think and believe every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. And as deep calls to deep, so is it. Revelation, glory, power, anointing, full. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We receive, we take in, we take to ourselves. We'll not be disobedient. We'll not be in unbelief. We will not be stiff-necked. We'll walk away changed today. And the evidence of that will be the way we think and the things we say and the things we do. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we're released in this to walk in this. And thank you for this food. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the fellowship. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Real quick, hey, I just want to remind you at the onset, I mentioned if any of you have something you would like to share, a testimony, maybe God gave you a prophetic word, whatever, after we all get seated down to eat, I'm going to ask for those that have something that you can share while we're eating. Is that okay?
No.
Go ahead. It's not okay? Hey, would the ushers to remove her? Ushers? Hey, go ahead and make your way downstairs, and we'll see you down there.